Apple Watch, it is one on the dot. Our meeting is scheduled for 1300 hours. So I think we should start. Cindy, where's the agenda? Members, you're all welcome. Colleagues, you're welcome. I want to first check with Cindy if we do require a quorum or if we do form a quorum for this meeting. Maybe before we do that, can I check with the whip, Ntate Khademe, if we do have any apologies from our side?
Good afternoon, members and colleagues. Yes, Honorable Chairperson, we do have apologies, in particular from your co-chair and Honorable Khai and Honorable Ula and Doris Lawute. So we have three on our side.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whip.
From the NCOP, one from the NA.
No, it's one from, no, Khai is also from the NCOP.
Yeah, that's why I said two from the NCOP. The co-chair plus Mr. Khai. And met Doris Lawute on the side of the NA.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Cindy, good afternoon. You are welcome. Do we have any apologies from your side? Cindy? Ms. Bailey? Mevrou Bailey? If Cindy's not there, is there anyone assisting Cindy or working with Cindy?
Chair.
I think she's having connectivity problems.
Yes, Chair, he's in charge.
Yes, Polly.
I'm trying to... I think she mentioned that she's having a connection problem, but he's trying to fix that problem now.
Okay. Are you able to directly communicate to her?
Yes, I was communicating with her now.
Okay. While we're waiting for Cindy to connect, she just sent me a message to say that we are good to start. She doesn't know that we started immediately. At one, Cindy. Let's talk share later. Nilele, amale. Cindy, we have started. If we're in church, I would say that we should start with a prayer while we're waiting for Cindy. But it's fine. Cindy, are you connected? Polly.
Chairperson, Mabe, how are you?
Yes, sir. Yes,
indeed. It's like Cindy, she wrote a message.
What is Cindy saying?
I saw that Cindy... Yeah. Oh, Cindy be... not Cindy. Sorry, I'm sorry. It's not Cindy, it's Cindy. Sorry.
All right. Remember, we have two Bailey, their sisters. So we're speaking to Cindy now. Cindy, colleague, can you assist us?
Yes, yeah. Okay, please, yeah, sure.
What?
She's experiencing some challenge in terms of connecting. In fact, she's in with us in the platform, but she couldn't able to hear you. She can't hear you, in fact. Let me see. So he says you've got a problem in his earphones.
Okay, just ask her to flight the... What is this? The agenda.
Sure.
Let me just listen by phone. Flight the agenda. Mr. Singh, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Sorry to come.
We missed you last week. Where were you?
I'm in three meetings at the moment. There's one here. I got my iPad. I got another one on my phone and this one. So I'm going to be moving in and out. So I'm sorry. But the other meeting goes until 5 o'clock as well.
We missed your voice when we were officially welcoming the speaker.
Yes, I know. It's been tough times.
Yeah. Maybe before you ask questions today, you should say something in welcoming her. I'm not sure if she's present in the meeting. Mr. Singh, you wanted to raise something? Mr. Singh? Were you raising something? Mr. Singh, is there something you want to raise before we start with the meeting? Or you were just registering your presence? Aibo. Am I audible?
You are audible, Chair. It seems as if no Mr. Singh is experiencing
some problems. Oh, connected to another meeting. That's fine.
Because you are audible. Chairperson?
Yes, Tim.
Hello, how are you?
Good afternoon, Tim. You're welcome. I'm good. Thanks, and you?
Thank you. I just wanted to register the apologies of Honorable Julius.
Yeah, sure. That's what I wanted Cindy to do for us. I know that most members might have raised their apologies through her office. So can we then maybe move on? And then at the point when Cindy is able to communicate, then she will then at the later stage forward the apologies so that then we can officially note them. Ma'am Jawa, I'm not sure if you are on the platform. You're welcome.
Ms. Jawa has registered an apology. She is attending the IPU, but we are here as Parliament for the presentation.
Okay. And Dr. Kasa, you're welcome. Are you the leader?
Yes,
I'm leading.
I will lead Mr. Moodley and Ms. November will do the presentations.
But okay.
The team.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Dr.
Can you note my apology, please? I'm
your
driving.
Was noted, yes. It's fine.
Okay, thank you. Thank
fine.
You, madam.
You are in the meeting, but you are traveling, yes. It was noted. Okay, Cindy, if you are back, can we quickly deal with apologies from your side?
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Apologies, I was experiencing some technical difficulty just now.
Okay.
And we receive apologies from Mr. High and Ms. Tiawa, who is attending an IPU conference, and Ms. Beg of the Divisional Manager for Business Support.
Okay.
And then I heard from Mr. Brotherford just now, so I've noted Mr. Julius's apology as well.
All right. Those
and
are the apologies.
Yes, and then Mr. Singh is attending two meetings at the moment, so he'll be moving between our meetings.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we then maybe go through the agenda items? I think we're done. First agenda number 2 is briefing on Parliament's 2021 mid-year report, then discussions followed by consideration of committee reports. I think the second part, we won't be able to deal with it due to the quorum, Cindy.
At the moment, we have a quorum on the NCOP side because we have Mr. Molikane, Mr. Mashango, and Mr. Bratiseth. On the inner side, I've got present Mr. Marshall, Mr. Singh, Ms. Lasoma, Mr. The Whip, and yourself, so we will be able to proceed with those items if we so could later on.
All right. Can I propose something? Can I propose something to the meeting? That we start with the second part of the agenda. We normally never spend a lot of time there. I hope copies were sent to the members on time.
Yeah.
Can I propose that while we're still correcting, we then entertain the second part of the meeting, because it is important that we do it while we're still correcting, And then through, or in the middle of the meeting, if members can lose connectivity or experience any other challenges and leave the meeting, then we would know that at least we are covered. Can I propose that?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Try to be as quick as possible. Cindy, are you going to be, how do we handle this one? Do we fly them or do we then ask members to rely?
I usually fly them, Chair.
Fly them, please, do that. Yes. You know we are very important when it comes to approval of minutes.
Just give me 1 second to go to them.
Do that. Okay. How many pages are in this report, Cindy?
There are 9 pages, Chair.
9 pages. Okay, members, we have 9-page a report. I'm not sure if members did receive the report on time. Were they able to go through the report? We will first allow members to raise grammatic errors and spellings, if there are any. I'm not restricting to any page. It can be from page 1 to page 9. If members have noted any grammatic errors or spelling, I'll allow for that. Maybe just for record, just go down again. Just for record, I must also maybe indicate that the report before us is the report of the Joint Standing Committee on the Financial Management of Parliament on the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa's Draft Annual Performance Plan 2022-2023, dated 26 November 2021. Are there any corrections that members would want to first highlight? Try to move your cursor very slow, Cindy. That's page 1. Can we move to the second page? That's page 2. Page 1 and page 2, they're difficult. They're dealing with the outline of the report. Then that's page 3. Okay. Yeah, I think the content starts here, 2.3, yes. Page 4. Slower, Cindy, you're too quick. Okay. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. We're still taking corrections. We'll come back.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back to observations. Page 8. Page 9, which is also the last part of the report. Okay, members, if there's any a grammatic error or spelling that members would notice at the later stage, please feel free to rectify that with Cindy. Cindy, can we then go to a page where there are observations?
Yes, Chair.
Observations before recommendations. Members, those are the observations. I'm not sure if you would want me to read them. I don't think it will be necessary. Those are the observations. No performance indicators on program.
Sorry, Chair.
Do not move the cursor too quick, Cindy. Please try to be slow so that members can follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, we can move down. Those are the observations, members. Let's go. Move on, Cindy. Part D. Go to the first recommendation. Those are the recommendations. We're expecting answers in that class. So let's move to the second one, to the second recommendation. Recommendation three. I think recommendation three should be number one for me, Cindy.
Okay.
It's just a proposal. Recommendations also, they go in terms of a priority. I think that is a priority for me. I'm sure members would agree. Because if we can get this correct, right, then the rest of the programs will be okay. Yeah, I think also access to Parliament, it's very important. Let it be number two. And then five becomes three. We are a parliament of the people. Accessibility is very important. Those are that is the literacy for the sixth parliament. Sure. Okay. Okay, let's move. All right. All right. Can you go to the first page, Cindy?
All right.
And then first page, go up, move the cursor up. Yeah, sure. Can we then get a mover, members? There's the report. The annual performance plan 2022-2023. Member Marshall.
Honorable, yes, I stand to move for the
second chair.
I stand here to move for that.
Thank you, Member Marshall.
I stand here to move for the adoption of this report as a true reflection of what happened in the committee.
Marshall moved as a true reflection. Can we get a second?
I saw seconds.
Christos attends. Thank you very much. Can we deal with the second report, Cindy?
Yes, Chair. I'm just getting it for you.
The report is therefore adopted. Thank you, members.
Yes, Chair. It's adopted with amendments.
With amendments as a true reflection. Thank you, Member. Can we then deal with the second draft report of the Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament on the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa's performance in the first quarter of 2021-2022, dated 26 November. We shall follow the same pattern. First, let's check if there are any grammatic errors and spelling errors.
Sorry, Chair.
That's fine. I think we're in page That's fine, Cindy.
Yes. I'm moving to
page. Yeah, we're in page 5. That's fine. Go down.
And now going back to the observations, Jay.
Yes, in keeping with the first format, please go back to the observations. There we go, members, observations. I will not read loud. Let's move, Cindy. I think we also need to find a way of highlighting the fact that we want the position of the Secretary to Parliament to be formalized. 4.4. Yeah. Unless if it is there somewhere. I think we also need to flag that. We also have to emphasize that the yes. Okay, you'll find a better word to to rephrase it, that's fine. I think for me, 4.5 becomes very important. This is the battle that the sixth parliament must start fighting. Until we get this correct, we are not going anywhere. This must be our number one. It's our number one priority. Making sure that our budget is independent from Treasury. That's our number one priority. Yeah. I think this one we've prioritized in the second winner. Part D, recommendation, can we move? Are we together, members? Are we still alive?
Yes, we are. We are here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, sure. Those are the recommendations. Okay, let's move. Almost the same thing that we've recommended in the previous report. At some point, these recommendations must change. If the recommendations are not changing, it means answers have not yet been provided. So the recommendations will be the same. Okay, Cindy? Okay. Can we therefore then move? Get a mover for the approval.
I'm very sure that the report be adopted.
Mr. Khadebe moved. I think I've overheard Mr.
Khadebe. Yeah, Chairperson, I just wanted to ask. I know I was not at that meeting, but I see there's no reference to the Parliamentary Budget Office. Were there any discussions around that, and is there any recommendations we want to make on that issue?
Would you want us to flag it? Just go to the recommendations.
I think it's an important
issue. There's nothing wrong with you forwarding it again. It must appear. It's a long outstanding resolved matter that is not being implemented.
Cindy,
can you find space? Can you find space for it somewhere? There's nothing wrong with us adding it to our recommendations.
Yes, sir. So it's in the quarter one report.
Is there anything wrong with it also appearing in that report?
Perhaps if there's something specific members would like to raise, we can insert it and share the report as adopted with all members for their approval before we publish it.
Find a smart way, you and Coley, find a smart way of putting it into context.
Okay.
It must appear in our recommendations.
Well, do, Chair.
We're not leaving it out. Find a smart way of putting it in our recommendations.
Yes,
you know what needs to be done. You know what has been done. You know the progress. So just make a follow-up. Find a way that it should at least reflect that all of us, when we read reports, we should always think that we spoke over and over and over about it. Ne?
Yes.
Find a way. That's fine. The report was moved by Member Hadebe and seconded by Tim, if I'm correct. Okay, yes, can we then move to another item? Annual report dated 26 November 2020-2021 annual report. We're following the same format.
Okay, so it's for this. I'll check.
We're following the same format, observation. Are there any changes, additions that members would want to make? Just keep on moving, Cindy. I won't be speaking unless okay. Even there's a member who wants to raise something. Are there any further recommendations that members would want to make? No? Okay. Can we then go to the adoption?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Member Hadebe moves.
Second.
Member Maso second. Therefore, the adopt is approved. Thank you very much. Cindy, minutes quickly.
Yes.
Also, the three reports, can we don't deal with the minutes?
Yeah, I'm just locating them. I'm just taking a minute because my laptop is giving me issues, so it will just take a second. Okay, we've got 3 sets of minutes, so this is the one of the 28th.
The 28th?
Of May.
Let's first check who was present. Okay. Move. Oh, just go up, just go up, go up, go up. I've seen that I'm absent. Is there a reason that I was absent? There should be a reason. There should be.
Huh? Yes, Chair, we'll go back into our records to see, but I think you were unable to log on. You had technical difficulties.
Yeah, it could be technical difficulties. I can't just be absent.
So, Chair, I'll just go back to the attendance registers for when members adopt so that they can see whether they were present.
Members, is that a true reflection?
Yes, Chair, I'll propose the minutes.
Okay, Tim is proposing. Can we get a seconder?
Yeah, Chair, they must just correct where they've got absence. A and Nyambi should be absent.
Yes, absent.
It's
an unpalatable word, Cindy.
Yeah.
Please don't write absent. For this meeting to correct, it depends on my attendance, and I will not just abscond. If I was absent, it could be on the basis that there was a connectivity problems. Please, Cindy. Can you correct that?
Can we move to the second chair?
Yes.
My time is
Masangu. Masangu, seconding. Thank you so much. Can we then move, Cindy, to another set of minutes?
Yes, Chair. These are the minutes of the 3rd of September, Chair.
Present.
Mr. Singh?
Yeah, again here, sorry. I see again a lot of us absent. Honorable Dagood, Marto, out. I'm sure we gave in reasons or apologies or something. Absent means it's quite a strong thing, like you say. So can
unpalatable. Cindy, yeah. It's unpalatable. Members of this committee are very committed. They never, ever, ever abscond. If they're not here, it could mean that they did provide reasons for not being here. Please let's reword that word and find reasons why members were not there. Please, Cindy. We'll pack this and then we'll approve the minutes, but then in the next meeting, at least next to each and every name that was absent, there should be a reason. Please, Cindy.
This
is one of the meetings that never sits without a quorum. Yes, ma'am.
Honorable Chair. Chair, yes. I agree with what you're proposing, but we should also not be seen promoting, because there are some few members who are sometimes absent without an apology and even after making follow-ups. remind them. So I agree. Going forward, we need to indicate.
We need to. You see, with Mazoni, it is clear. She declined the invitation. Mazoni,
Honorable Chairperson.
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson.
Honorable
Yes, man. Let us have a true reflection of what transpired on that day. I think Cindy will be in a better position to have. Ne? Take for example, just like today. I did provide 3 apologies for the ANC members who are not there. Let's say if I didn't provide, it means that that person is absent. And then you cannot sugarcoat that.
You cannot sugarcoat that.
Yeah. So what I'm asking for, let's try to make the record to be a true reflection as possible. So I think the mandate you must say, Cindy must do, let her go back to her record and see what transpired on that day.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, yes, as you said, I agree with you. The majority of the members of this committee are very responsible members. Sometimes it's true that it can be a technical problem, but usually sometimes a person is, sometimes go half into the meeting, and then there's an internet glitch. But it was recorded. But there are people who just disappear. I don't want to mention names.
But
you
must go to her records. Thank you.
Okay. All right, fine. It's resolved.
Chairperson, can I comment? Muletsane?
Yeah.
I want to agree with the previous speaker. But then if the situation was that maybe I was having a serious network problem, meaning I could have not managed to access the meeting. If Cindy can go justice to say, maybe just to say, like I'm agreeing with him to say, let us check with those people now. What happened? If I could not manage to enter the meeting, and then in the next meeting, I'm not even given a chance of saying that, you know what, I had a technical problem of network and so on. So I think if it can be checked, so that I want to agree that if somebody just disappeared without any notice, it's noted. But let us be checked. I'm just saying that because I'm not talking for me. I'm fine. I've been attending there. I've been present. But let us check before we just say that somebody was just absent. I don't think, like you said it previously, we are adults. We can't just disappear without a reason. We are very committed to the cause. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Member point taken. As indicated, we never have people who just abscond. There are always reasons for members not to be present. For example, I'm not sure if Lesoma is present today. Lesoma, are you in today?
Yes, she is.
Chair, I am in.
Oh, yeah, Lesoma. Mm. Lesoma, it's because you never said anything since from the beginning. That's why I couldn't notice. Okay, fine. Can we then get a mover with all the suggested recommendations on reasons why people are not present in meetings? Can we get a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Tim is moving. Maso is seconding.
I'm seconding with a recommendation that the issue absent need to be indeed be checked. We can't just be absent. We are so committed to this cause.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, Cindy, was that the last set of minutes?
No, Chairperson, we still have our last meeting set of minutes. I'm getting
Let's just quickly get disposed of that.
So, Chair, these are the minutes of the 10th of November.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
Yes,
members. Are there any corrections that members would want to highlight?
Yes, Chairperson, I think the issue of absence to this committee for myself, from my side, I don't think somehow it need to be taken into consideration, because we have our primary committees that we attend. If we did not come to this meeting, it does not mean that we are absent. It means that we are also attending other matters that are also of importance for this parliament. So the issue of absentee to me does not go well, because really I've never been absent, just absent. You know, I honor this committee like any other business.
Chairperson?
Yes, Mr. Tegadebe, kia utlwa.
All right, thank you. I think the position of Honorable Marshall is very clear. Honorable Marshall is an alternate member to this committee. Usually, the alternate members are present. They actually, when there's a lack of quorum, whatever it might be, but they're allowed to deliver it. It's true that one Cindy must always bear that in mind, that she is an alternate member of the ANC in this committee. So she has her primary committees, as you say, agriculture, what rural development, whatever it is. Yeah, that's her primary focus. But I think that what must happen here, Honorable Marshall, we are having secretaries. Yeah? So what you do, if there's a meeting coming, just tell your secretary to write to Cindy that even if you are an alternative member, that you are in the other meeting. Not that we just don't know what is happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then get a mover?
I move.
Whip moves and the seconder?
I second.
Thank you very much. Cindy, I'm not sure whether my apology was recorded in this meeting as well. I'm not sure. I cannot state it.
No, there was no apology from you, Chair. You were present.
Oh, yes. I remember I was not well, but I did connect, even though I was unable to participate.
Yes.
All right, then. Can we get to the business of the day, of today?
Chair, sorry. Before we go to the business of today, I just kept to myself because I wanted us to pass the reports in a minute. The issue of the recommendations you should make, that one of the allocation of parliament in particular, that it must not be dependent upon treasurer. The Minister of Finance will be presenting a budget in February. And then we gave the executive authority a month to come back to us. So that meeting was on the 26th. The 26th will be in December. Then will be closed. So the question which I'm raising here is, what has been done up to now? What engagements were done up to now to ensure that that resolution is being effected? That resolution is being effected. And then number two, Chair, as you spoke about the issues which you are having, the issue is that this issue of Zoom meetings actually sometimes make this parliament staff to get away with murder. I can take, for example, you are given the contacts whereupon member support facilities. Here are the people who are supposed to be dealing with. But the numbers which are provided with are office numbers. I'll make an example. When the schools closed, I was shocked that my daughters were not registered as the travel dependents. I had to call the acting speaker to parliament to go and get those people to ensure that they are registered. So I think that something must be done about the issue, because at level one, you go to all the shops, you go to all the firms, all the staff members, they are there at work, so that they do the work. So I'm putting this thing in front of the administration of parliament. When are we going to have almost the full complement of work? Because all the other sectors are open, even the hospitals, where the virus is rampant. They are there. I can make an example. In the last meeting, myself and Mr. Hai, we raised certain things very critical. We're supposed to have changed our phones, né, because now it's 2 years down the line. Né. You cannot get anyone. When you go to the, I took a contractor with Telkom. When you go and change, yes, we are there in the system, Mr. Hai, but we cannot help you because your contract is managed differently. You must go back to Parliament. You go back to Parliament, you don't find these people. So I think that something must be done. But the first one is very critical. What has been done up to so far about the issue of affecting this issue of the allocation of Parliament? Thank you, Chair. Because on the 26th, we'll be at home. Né? But I think that immediately when you took that resolution, certain steps should have been taken to ensure that that resolution is effective. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Whip. So the recommendation to put it as a first priority, I think it is in order. The 26th, I'm not even sure if that meeting will sit because it will be a day after. I'm not sure. 26th of what?
December. It will be a day after Christmas.
After Christmas. So I'm not even sure if that meeting will take place. It's fine. Let's defer everything back to the new year, which is next year. Yeah, it will be a holiday, and then maybe now let's deal with the first agenda item.
My hand is up, Chair.
Yes.
Mine is up too.
Oh, okay.
My hand is up. Chair, I agree with the two of you, yourself and the Whip, that we cannot have the meeting on the 26th. It will be holiday anyway, that we move the meeting to here, first quarter of next year or the last quarter of the financial of the guidance. I think, Honorable, I mean, there should be an improvement in terms of communication between ourselves, through our secretaries to Parliament. But I also want to agree with you that there has been a delay. Our contract has long lapsed, and there was no communication as to what to do, when to do. And also, our contracts are different. Like you say, you have a telecom contract, you can go to any outlet. But those with other service providers, given forms to fill in and send them back to Parliament. And what I want to raise, in addition to what you raised, as the because I've gone through also communicating with some of the officials, trying to clarify what is expected of me in terms of renewing the contract. And we are expected, according to the information I have, to renew only the phones. And previously, whenever we renew, we renew all the gadgets. So I don't know what changes that, where this decision was taken to say you only renew the phone and the laptop and the tablet would be renewed.
You are fading, member.
Next year, I don't know if we are in order. I'm done, Chair.
Yes, but I could hear the your points. I think the main issue you raised there is the rationale behind saying that members cannot upgrade other gadgets, but they are only entitled to upgrade the telephone. Yes. There was another hand.
Yes, it's me, Kaiso.
Kaiso? Yes.
Yes, I just wanted to raise quickly this matter of the staff.
Yeah.
And the issue of the budget of parliament. I want to agree 100% with what was raised by Honorable Becky around that issue, because it seems as if February is going to arrive without us having, you know, put our foot flat on the ground around that issue that the parliament must draw its own budget and not be, you know, imposed by Treasury by then. So it will give me a problem if we will arrive first and wait for the first quarter, and then we're going to discuss that matter as if it's going to be a new matter altogether when we meet. It will be sometime after February when the budget has already been done. So I don't know how, perhaps I missed a point to understand how are we saying we're going to deal with that before the budget. Although I understand that now we're in the middle of we're in December and there's no likelihood that we shall have been able to do it before the budget. Secondly, is the issue of the staff. Initially, I thought maybe when we're moving to level one, and I don't know why is the administration not actually, you know, taking preemptive measures to deal with the issue of, you know, management of, you know, movement of staff during this level, such that now it is not necessary, you know, to hamper in the members of parliament who are supposed to, you know, have direct engagement with the relevant staff offices there, so that it provides for the members, because, you know, WhatsApp message is not enough to be just asking questions, you know, but sometimes there are things that you need to engage on the table, you know, this one and that one, and then you sign and all those things. So I think moving forward, actually there's supposed to be urgently, there should be a plan that actually, you know, addresses this question of, you know, moving in members of the staff of parliament office by office. There should be a very clear plan that should have unfolded long ago, so that there is no struggle and we should not be asking questions when this office is going to be open or when is this person going to be here and there. You see, I mean, it doesn't make sense that all other government institutions, of which the parliament were leading by example, we should actually, you know, be viewed as being, you know, ahead. But now it's like when it comes to this, we are at the tail because we have just, you know, asked all people to go back to their bases, but the commanders are running behind. So if you can look at that matter and manage it, there should be a proper plan unfolding by each level, such that now at least there are convincing reasons why no. At this level three, we'll scale down by one or by two, but not by zero. It gives me a problem. So I think we need to look at that. I'm done, Chair.
All right. Yes, can you hear me
now? Yes, I don't know whether there's a lot of hands. Let me see on the chat. I'm not sure whether you captured me, Chair.
Honorable Kaiso, you were very audible. Nah, you were audible. I think that the Secretary to the NMA, Mr. Kaiso, will be able to respond to the issues you are raising. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I note your point, Honorable Khadebe. I see the Chair seems to have
been disconnected. I don't know at what point I should come in.
All right, let me look at the hands. And then the person who still has to come is Honorable Marshall. Honorable Marshall will
finish
your point so that after Honorable Marshall, Mr. Castle, then you can come in, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Abed.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. Chairperson, I wanted also to come in making sure that we put emphasis on the issue that you have raised, Honorable Radebe, that we are feeling very much frustrated by the members, by the workers of our own parliament. The issue you raised that they are nowhere to be found in the offices is true, and this frustrates us more than any other thing else, because you will call and call and nobody is answering, and some of the things are not being done correctly in that line. So therefore we suggest that really this matter must be addressed with the authority, that those people that are working in those offices, they must make sure that they adhere to the rules of parliament where they need to be at work. If they are not there, we need to know when are they going to be in those offices. If they are following the issue of COVID-19 regulations, we need to know what is happening, because you can't be frustrated. You can't be like we are on the street all the time. When you need something, you can't be there. Presently, I'm giving an example. There is this issue of members' interest, which they said we must send. We have sent them to those emails that they said we must send. But we are now getting so many messages because it's only 3 days left. You did not submit, but you have submitted, you have proved, you have everything. We don't know where to go. So it must be fixed. We need not to be frank.
No, thank you, Honorable Marshall. When coming to that issue, just to acknowledge that you have sent your declaration form, it's not coming back. You send the stuff and then it just disappeared. You don't know what has happened. But Mr. Castle, can you come in, please? On this.
Thank you so much, Honorable Members. I've taken note of the points and the concerns raised by members. We have put in place a rotational system in terms of staff presence to make sure that every area of activity in Parliament, there are people that are available to serve Honorable Members. So I'm actually quite concerned myself that when members require service, they are not being served. So I've taken note of this, and we're going to attend to it. I think members have indicated specific areas around issues of members' interests, members' facilities, but I'm sure it also applies to other areas within the establishment. A lot of us are here on a daily basis, or let me say some of us are here on a daily basis, but to the extent that there are areas that don't seem to have personnel to attend to members. We certainly will attend to that, all the members, and I really want to apologize that members have had to go through this experience, but it's going to receive our urgent attention. On the issue of the budget, I think I would like to say two things. I think, one, the sooner these reports are published so that they go to the House and adopted by the House, the reports of this committee, I think the better for all concerned, because once they are adopted, they can then be implemented and responses can be provided to some of the issues that have been raised. But I'm also aware that presiding officers and the minister have been working on some engagements to discuss specifically these issues that are being raised here, the concerns around the budget of Parliament and how it is structured. And I'm just not certain that meeting has in fact taken place yet. But the presiding officers or executive authority is certainly alive to this matter and is trying very hard to engage the Ministry of Finance. Of course, we're aware that it may be late for some of the things to happen by February, because a lot that will be tabled in the budget, that will be part of the budget in February, has already been worked on in terms of these things are arranged from the Department of Finance. On ICT matters, Ms. Goldman, I'm not sure if you are able to respond to the issues raised by members around the contracts and as it relates to ICT. And I'm also informed that the administration met with the Treasury on the 9th of November. So the matter is indeed receiving attention, but the acting CFO is here. And the Treasury Advice Office is also represented here, and they may want to add to that. Ms. Boardman, to your permission, Chair. Ms. Boardman, do you have anything to add on the issue of contracts?
Yes. Can you hear me? Good afternoon, honourable members. Yes, Mr. Kasu. I can respond to the extent from ICT's perspective to the extent of our involvement. However, I do know that the division manager and the section manager of Member Support Services Division, they did present the approach in terms of the South Zones and what they would be looking at over the next 2 years in terms of the MTIF, the medium-term years. I think they have presented to the Chief Whips, and I think they have consulted. So that's the extent that I can respond regarding the approach that was used in terms of not upgrading the phones, I think, but rather to continue with the contracts. But in that case, Mr. Castro, I think we need to solicit the feedback from Member Support Services in this regard and report back to the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, through you, ma'am. We certainly will give a considered response to this matter, taking all the issues on board that have been raised by members. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe in our next meeting, we'll give you a chance to go and dig deeper into this concerns that were raised by members. I want to also raise some dissatisfaction with the travel agent. It seems like they're not paying attention. You get to the airport, you are inconvenienced. And these are the issues that I did personally tell them that I'm going to raise with the administration. But that goes for claims department as well. You are expected to submit your claims electronically. They are there for 2 weeks. When you make a follow-up, you are told you did not comply. Then later you get a call that, no, we are sorry, we did not check the receipts. And so we want people who are here to give support to members to please pay attention to their work. So generally, members are just not happy with the service that they get from the staff. And I also want to also caution members that there is a questionnaire about dissatisfaction and recommendations that members would want to make related to support staff services. I'm not sure if Mr. Castle are aware of that and if members are also aware of that. If not, let us try to make sure that that questionnaire it actually reaches each and every member. In fact, we should insist that members should fill the questionnaire form so that then administration should then be able to reflect. Generally accepted. But also taking into note that the current speaker has committed to meet with finance. In our last meeting, I'm sure members will remember, she did indicate that they are planning to meet with the minister before the end of this year. And then I think another issue is that, I think Mr. Kasa did touch on it, that the reports must first be tabled at the house. And then 30 days after the internal circulations and adoptions, then after 30 days, then that's when we can then expect what is this responses. Members, can we move on? But I think Mr. Kasa, You have noted all those concerns by members. Can we move on to the agenda item, if you allow me, if you agree, members?
Thank you, Chairperson. But I think that what Mr. Kaso has said is that the staff which is always available. Take, for example, in the members' facility. When in Parliament, there's always no one. I think that if they can issue... If they can issue the list of the staff members who are available for a particular week, for example, next week, which the Parliament is still open, we must know who is in so that we can have the face-to-face meetings when rest issues were necessary. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Whip. Can we then go to the first agenda item, which is the only item in the agenda? Briefing for the 2021-2022 midterm performance reports. Can we quickly go through that? But Kaso, I'm sure you are the one who's going to present.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we will ask Mr. Mudi to present the report, and the acting CFO will deal with the financials. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, honourable members, Mr. Kaso and other officials of Parliament, I just want to confirm, first of all, I am sharing a presentation. Can it be seen by all? I'm on the screen I see is just a PowerPoint in front of me. I just want to confirm that you can see our report.
Yes, the report is visible.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Honourable members, members of the committee, I'm going to take us through our institutional mid-year report for the year. Just a reminder, in terms of the FMPPLA, we have tabled and presented before our first quarter report. We also tabled the second quarter report together with the mid-year report. We have provided the large mid-year report, which is a 48-page document. The presentation I'm going to summarizes that report. Thank you. I'm not sure why it's not. Okay, the presentation is not moving on my screen. I just want to find out, do I still have sharing rights? I should be able to move this presentation. Okay, I'm just going to try sharing it again just to see if there's a technical issue. Honourable members, I apologise for that. There was a technical issue with the presentation. Okay, so the mid-year report, just a reminder that the strategic plan of Parliament for the sixth Parliament outlines two strategic priorities, oversight and accountability and public participation. And the annual performance plan is derived from these priorities. And the mid-year performance report being presented today is based on this six-term strategic plan. It contains 12 indicators which are measured, 9 of which are performance measures focused on member satisfaction or client satisfaction with the services provided by the parliamentary administration. A quarterly survey is done where members are asked to rate the services of the parliamentary administration along 5 key dimensions, which is usefulness, reliability, timeliness, I can't remember the other two right now. We've run those surveys for 2 quarters, and the survey for the 3rd quarter is open at the moment, which has been sent to both members' inboxes via SMS. So this allows for members to rate these services along those dimensions. And I had noted in the past that for the first quarter, 3 members of the Joint Standing Committee did the survey and 4 members for the second quarter. So thank you for that. And the more responses we have, the better the parliamentary administration would be in terms of improving some of its services. Thank you. This is just giving a quick indicator overview. So what this is saying, it's saying which indicators are new, which were carried over from even the previous term of parliament. The one thing we noted before, the doing quarterly surveys, so which obviously has been implemented. I mentioned that even the third quarter survey is open at the moment for members to actually respond to. And these indicators are also moving away from just measuring, like, for example, in the past we had measuring whether a research paper got done within 8 days. Now members get to rate whether the research paper is useful, whether it's reliable, whether it helps them do their work, et cetera. So we've moved into the aspects of quality, and I noted from your recommendation reports earlier. So as I mentioned, we have addressed that issue with these new types of measures. I think offhand, just to mention as well, earlier this month, we also presented this to the IPU data and governance forum in front of 178 participants in the IPU. So it was presented there, and it was indicated in terms of the IPU from the IPU Innovation Hub that our methodology and the things that we are using is quite progressive, and it was taken quite well by many other parliaments the world, where they would be looking at some of these things as a new benchmark. Just to move on, although these are not audited information in terms of the APP, I'm just highlighting in terms of summary in an infographic what are some of the key work done by the houses and the committees. So indicating, you know, the number of oral questions, the number of written questions that Parliament has put forth, the debates in the House, oversight visits, our public hearings, bills processed, considered during the first half of the year. And after that, in terms of public participation, what I'm showing is the business of Parliament. Some of the new public participation we do via multimedia platforms. So what is our reach via Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and the parliamentary website, what we're getting. And obviously these are all, you know, the new methods of public participation using these digital platforms. At the same time, we still do public participation via traditional media reach. Going to go into detail around this, but we've got Parliament's reach is quite significant, and our public participation efforts are quite significant. And then I'll go into the technical performance, mid-year overall performance. So the first thing to note is that in terms of the member satisfaction surveys that we sent out, the second quarter, just like the first quarter, has got a 100% performance as rated by members of Parliament. That's where we are coming out at. All indicators met their targets. The one which is grey is simply because it's an annual parliamentary joint parliamentary programming framework. There isn't a quarterly indicator for that. That is indicated in the quarterly programs of the NA and NCOP on the next two indicators. So first thing to note that the performance is 100%. Then I'm doing a snapshot view of, member satisfaction results. So like I mentioned, all members are getting this via Google Form survey, which they can access via their computer, and via the SMS link on their phones. I think the latest even sent an update to this and a reminder even this very week itself at the beginning of the week. So what this is showing, mid-year result is simply an average of the quarter one and quarter two survey results. So you've got a 92% satisfaction with ICT services, facilities management at 79.3, capacity building at 70.9, 84.1 for research services, 85 for content advice, 80% for procedural advice. for legal advice, 79, 84% for committee support services, and 77% for public participation support. I think I want to take this in time to actually address something I saw in terms of recommendations on all three reports. I want to address it. It has been addressed before, but I just want to give a reminder. In terms of the Sixth Parliament strategy, you have a strategy map which talks about outcome levels all the way to input levels. I think I saw a recommendation which stated why there are no performance targets for Program 3. Program 3 is comprised of direct charges, is comprised of members' travel entitlements, etc. These are inputs to Parliament. They are not things which you perform against. We have checked extensively and we've engaged this with the AG, with the IPU, with other parties on there, and there is a DPME framework. It is incorrect and it would create an audit finding immediately if you start putting performance targets to travel tickets, to direct charges in terms of members' compensation and medical aid, etc. Because these are pure inputs. They are neither activities, outcomes, or any of the higher levels of the, and it's not in keeping with any strategic planning framework out there. So hopefully that answers that question. I believe we have put that before. However, since I saw it as the recommendations, I'm just saying that recommendation could create an immediate audit finding, and I believe that it can be checked with all of those parties. We do extensive consultations on these, particularly around the AG, who has advised on that before. So next slide. I'm going to move on there. As I'm saying, for the total of the 12 indicators at the mid-year points, all achieve their targets. Now, since there's no reasons for variance, et cetera, I will just quickly skim through some of the performance information just to show how it's broken up amongst the different programs. Your program one, which is pure administration, has a total of 2 indicators, and the targets achieved are 2 there. The targets, the actual results did come out significantly higher than what the targets were. Now, the targets, when chosen for the first time you are doing this, there was no necessarily parliamentary benchmark you could pick against. So we used generic client satisfaction out there in industry. We have shown where we've got that before. However, the first year of running these surveys, which would give a much better idea of a benchmark going forward. And obviously, the more members that respond to these client satisfaction surveys will also give coherent better data for us to use. So then, in terms of Program 2, now Program 2 is the main business of Parliament. It is your legislation and oversight program. It's where the core business of Parliament sits. That's why it has the majority of the performance targets and indicators. And just quickly, although I mentioned it before, the financial program and the program is not necessarily aligned at the moment, but your program 5 is purely associated services. Like I said, it has, when you talk about compensation of employees there, you are talking about, if you're starting off, you've got members facilities, you've got transfers there, you've got the equivalent of members' compensation, and also tickets and goods and services around members' entitlements. I think members already mentioned things like phones, all of those kind of things. Those are pure inputs to Parliament. It would be impossible to assign performance measures to the input levels of Parliament, and it does not make any sense in terms of any frameworks which are out there and in terms of the consultations that we have done. So I just wanted to reinforce that point. For the moment, I am going to pass for this presentation, obviously the financials, I would pass to my colleague, the acting CFO of Parliament, to take us through take the committee through financials. Thank you.
November to you, Chair.
Good afternoon, Chair and Honourable Members, colleagues of Parliament, Mr. Crasso. In terms of the financial performance by program, and when we talk program, we talk to the strategic leadership and governance, the administration, your core business support and associated services, as well as direct charges. As we can see here, Parliament has basically spent 45% for the first half of the financial year, and there will be an underspend of 14% specifically on the permit by the end of the financial year. Just move on to the next slide, please. I'm just highlighting what is on the slides. Can I?
Apologies, for some reason there's a technical issue. I'll just bring it up again.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Murthy.
Can everyone see the screen now? I just want to check.
That's right. Just the next slide, which is performance by economic classification.
Apologies, I've got to do it again. For some reason or the other, the slides are not moving. I don't know what the hiccup is.
We apologize for this problem, members.
It's showing, Mr. Motley. I just need you to go to the next one, please, if it's possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Just the one before the overall performance, I just want to take members through the different classifications. Just the one before this one.
Sorry, I'm still having the same trouble.
Okay, I think in any case, members, sorry for that. This overall view will basically address the issues that we have on the previous two slides. As I've initially mentioned, overall Parliament has spent 45% of its appropriated budget.
That has disappeared.
Yeah, I think it's a challenge today we have. Yeah. This one, just leave it there, Mr. Murthy. In terms of the overall spend by Parliament, it's 45% of 2.6 billion. Linear projection, we expect obviously a 50% year to date. Of those expenditure. In terms of the direct charges, that is now relating to members' remuneration, there will be a projected overspend of 14.103 million. However, members do know that that is a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. In terms of the compensation of employees, it's about 44%. Of the 544.5 million of the total annual budget. There is an underspending, and obviously what we can say here, it's obviously due to the performance bonus, which was 0%, and obviously there has been some key vacancies. As you well know, the CFO as well as the Secretary to Parliament, those are some of the key vacancies. In terms of the APP on goods and services, spending currently is at 31%, or 92.9 million of the annual budget. Here again, we can say the prolonged travelling restrictions, that's why there has been an underspend, but obviously now the country moving to level one, there has been a slight improvement in terms of spend, specifically on international travel. Obviously, the budget will be adjusted and the savings will be utilized for other projects, specifically on the infrastructure and the ICT side. With regards to goods and services on the members' entitlement side, spending for the year amounts to 41%, Also here, I need to mention that members entitled UNCH are heavily dependent on travel requirements, and those are of previous and current members of the executive. And again, due to the pandemic, there is a projected underspend by the end of the financial year because there has been slow traveling. Then also when we talk about the transfer payments to political parties, the year to date is 50%. And here again, we project a full spend by the end of the year. Capital expenditure currently stands at 26% of the total budget. And there again, we are saying they will be full spent by the end of the financial year. If we move to the next slide, we talk to the program strategic leadership and the governance. That is program one, the budget there. This slide. Under program one, the divisions that we have there is Office of the Speaker, Office of the Chairperson, the Parliamentary Budget Office, the Treasury Advice Office, and OISD. This program currently has a spend of 47.417 million or 41% of the annual budget and 114.391 million for the first half has been spent, and the second quarter is at 22% spent. Again, as we have said, spending against the annual budget is 41% in these offices of the Speaker and the Chairperson. Can we move to the next slide? Again, on the program one, here we talk to the economic classifications in terms of compensation, goods and services, and capital. Compensation is at 47%. Goods and services, or APP, is currently on 20%. And as we have mentioned, it has still been the lockdown pandemic, but there is projecting that we will be having full spend by the end of the financial year. Capital expenditure, we are saying here it has been deferred to the third quarter due to some of those delays that we are experiencing from some of these capital equipment. Can we move to the next slide under program two, which is the administration. And under the administration, we have offices of the Secretary, Finance Management Office, Internal Audit, Strategic Management and Governance, Registrar of Members' Interest, Legislative Support. This program, honorable members, has spent 60.865 million or 39% from the annual budget. And I just want to mention that the Office of the Secretary, all those offices, members' legislation, it's respectively 48%, 41%, 58%, 48%, 43%, and 23% spent, respectively. When we talk about the spending on contingency, that is obviously the amount allocated for our COVID, and it stood at 29% of the annual budget. Then we move to slide. The next slide, the program. Here again, we talk to compensation of employees under program two, which is at 47%. And we again are saying there are indicators that we will have full spend. When we talk under program two on the goods and services, spending is at 20%. But again, we set indicators that they will be full spent at the end of the financial year. And under CAPEX, capital expenditure, it's currently at 7% of the 317 of the annual budget. However, again, we are saying full spend by the end of the financial year. When we move to the next slide, which is program three, core business. Under core business members, we look at events in Parliament. We look at the NA, NCOP, Officers Core, Business Support, KISS, International Relations and Protocol. Now, this program, currently their spend is standing at 43% of the annual budget, and that is for the first half of the financial year. And again, as I said, you can see how the different offices have spent, ranging on 46, 35, 44, 45, and 41% of their budgets they have spent respectively. There are indicators that core business will have full spend by the end of the financial year. If we look at the next slide, under the core business, which is your compensation of employees, goods and services, and CAPEX. Here again, we say compensation of employees spent is at 46% of the annual budget. However, again, indicators are that there will be full spend. Goods and services, or APP, spending to date is 30%. And annually, there's 40.719 million. And again, we are saying full spent by the end of the financial year. Under CAPEX, to date is 0.2%. However, again, we are saying full spent by the end of the financial year. Members, if we move to the next slide, which is Program 4, Support Services. Under support services, you will have your deputy secretary, parliamentary communication, human resources, information communication and technology, institutional support services, and member support. Support services here, honorable members, has spent 203.122 million or 41% for the first half of the financial year. And spending for the second quarter against the annual budget is 20%. Can we move to the next slide? Still on program four, when we talk about the compensation of employees on under program four, which stood currently at 40% or 159.060 million of the annual budget. Goods and services, which is 43% that they have spent, and there are indicators that they will be full spent by the end of the financial year. Also, the CAPEX under the program 4 is currently at 42%. Then we can move to program 5, which is program 5, which is associated services relating to members' facilities and the transfer to political parties. Currently, there is a 47% spend of the annual budget in the first half of the financial year. And spending for the second quarter against the annual budget is predicted as 25%. Also, to indicate to honourable members that the spending year relates to members' entitlements in terms of the handbook and medical aid contributions to former members of Parliament and the legislatures, which is 41 and 21% year to date and second quarter, respectively. When we talk about the transfer to political parties, that is constituency, party administration and party leadership allowances. It's currently standing at 50% spend to date. And here we predict that there will be an underspending of 13.911 million on members' facilities. This, honorable members, is obviously attributable to the number of members that are not taking up the permit as a deficit anticipated. Then we can move to the next slide. Thank you, Mr. Mutley. We continue with the associated services under compensation of employees, goods and services, and in CAPEX. Here we are saying spending to date on compensation of on employees, which relates to PAMED, is at 41%. And we are saying an underspending of 13.911 on the annual pay budget, as I have indicated on the previous slide. Also, with regards to your goods and services, and this, honorable members, relates to members' entitlements, spending is at 40% of the annual budget of 116.583 million. And members' entitlement, the utilization there is very much dependent on the travel entitlements. However, due to the pandemic again, they are underspending of 13.911 million at the end of the financial year. The next slide, Mr. Motley, we spoke to direct charges. This is members' remunerations. Direct charges is standing at 51% of the annual budget and 26% for the second quarter. There are also indications that there will be an overspend of 3% on the annual budget at the end of the financial year. The next slide, Mr. Motley, I think this is the last slide. Direct charges, okay. Now that is direct charges. I have indicated that it is at 51% of the annual budget, and then there will be an overspend. But as we have, as honorable members should know, this overspend is a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund as per the FMPPLA. I think, honorable members, that basically concludes my presentation. And I thank you, Chair and honorable members.
Thank you very much. Is it the end of the presentation?
That marks the end of the presentation.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will now open for comments, questions. If there are any, maybe just to highlight, I'm not sure if I would be correct to say that you've mentioned that the program 3, there are no indicators for program 3, and we've just raised critical issues now. And I think members are not just complaining. Their complaints were relevant, because now if program 3 does not have indicators, how do you then measure the performance of those employees who are linked to the program? Employees who are responsible to ensure that members are paid timely of their claims and travel, etc., etc. Because the performance contracts of employees are derived from the indicators or outputs. So I'm not sure if I did capture you well when you said that there are no indicators for program 3. I've said it, that in fact members' complaints are not misdirected. Members are correct in raising this. And you are exposed. Members, that's the presentation. Can we then get comments, clarity-seeking questions, and also recommendations, members, where you feel that the parliament should actually improve? Over to you, members. Cindy, can you help me to point members?
I will, Chair. I've got Mr. Singh, Mr. Hadebe, Mr. Kaiso, Mayor Marshall, Mr. Molotsane, those are the only ones for now, Chair.
Members in that order, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I thought I heard my name first. Firstly, I think we must appreciate the fact that we are working in very, very unusual circumstances that caught all of us by surprise. And if the new variant that they're talking about is as serious as it is, then I think we can be continuing like this for a foreseeable period. The one direct question I'd like is the sample size for the questionnaires. You know, this was the first time that I didn't complete the survey. And I can tell you it was because of so many other things to do, and I didn't know what to say because, you know, we haven't been using much of Parliament's services. So sometimes I wonder whether it's just a tick-the-box exercise that we have to complete. But the sample size will be important as to how you reach these percentages. Then on the question of the budget, now for me, I may be wrong. It's not unusual for us to be underspending because we are not traveling and lots of services that are normally provided to us in normal circumstances are not being provided. And for me, it's not a bad thing to be underspending because we can then catch up with this notion of us saying all the time, every year, that we are being underfunded. But what I'd like to know, if there is underspending at the end of the year, will that underspending, will that amount that's left over accrue to Parliament or will it go back to Treasury? I know there are arrangements and we are allowed to keep the money. So for me, I'm just making a general statement that underspending is not a bad thing. It's allowing us to catch up. My third question would relate to PALMED. I heard something about members not taking up PALMED. Now, as I understand, it's compulsory for you to take up PALMED. So if I can just have some clarity on that. And then on the compensation of employees, where there's an underspend. Now, there's a bit of a concern. Are there staff vacancies? Are there positions not filled? And are we going to maintain that, freeze some of the posts that are available because there's 44% there? And my last question will relate to CapEx. Because we're not spending much on CapEx. And I would like to know specifically if the kitchen-cum-dining room project has been completed and is it within budget? I mean, I was there a few days ago and I saw the facilities closed. But is it within budget or not? Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Next.
Thank you, Chairperson.
As passing this list, thank you. Yes. Why don't you speak at the end?
No, my battery is very low.
Okay, sure. Shoot.
All right, thank you, Chairperson. I think that first of all, a person would like to appreciate the presentation made, you know. But there are certain concerns which I want to raise, which are a few. I hope that the administration will be able to respond. I think that what was good about this budget we're having now is that this budget is supposed to be in line with the strategic plan of Parliament. As we have said that in the previous reports we've adopted, that even the APPs which we are dealing with are directly linked to the strategic plan of Parliament. But if I remember very well, I might have focused on something. I think that there are three programs in the strategic plan of Parliament. Now, which is done. But when I look at the financial reporting, the non-financial reporting, the financial reporting is speaking about five programs. Or I don't know whether those were supposed to be sub-programs of a particular program, if I can be clarified on that particular regard. And the other issue, Chairperson, is the issue of performance management. When you go only to the survey, or the certification survey of the members of Parliament, it is not inclusive of the entire performance of management. I think that the Honourable Chair raised a correct point that there are people who are doing a particular work, of which a law is supposed to be input from the side of Parliament. But what if that job is not done properly? I can make just a very simple example. In the past, as a member, I put a claim, put the slips of the flight. They were there, but that claim had to be paid about 2 months later. When we traced back, that thing simply disappeared. The issue is that someone should have been held accountable for that. So what is critical here? I think that the situation survey is only one dimension. The issue is that the person who's in charge of the unit, their performance must be done. I think that we must deal with that. That's why this issue of performance management assessment, it must be really more comprehensive than it is now. And then the other aspect, Chairperson, I think that it's difficult. Yes, we are fighting that the Parliament must deal with its allocation. The issue is that we are supposed to do the amendment to this Parliamentary Provincial Legislative Act. When are we going to do that so that we cannot have a lacuna where we go and claim that we must get this allocation must be done by Parliament first, but we don't have a tool to exercise that. So when is the amendment going to be affected so that we do this job timelessly? Thank you, Chair. Kalebu, I'm the last tool.
Kalebu, I'm there. Next to follow. Send this list, please. Members, feel free to just come in.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Chair. One appreciates the presentation which has been made outlining what transpired over the last period under review. So I don't want us to go into a debate over the issue of what are the excuses of, COVID has brought to the expenditure, et cetera. Because, in SCOA, in SCOA, for instance, we used to get a number of excuses related to SCOA, related to COVID, impact on expenditure. We found that now some department have found a comfort around, hiding behind COVID-19 so that we justify everything around COVID. We ended up saying, no, look, if departments are going to bring the issue of COVID, we are fine. We no longer need it now. Because people would not do their job well and then hide behind COVID-19. Whilst we appreciate the attempts to strive to attain that, but because now we are dealing with a mathematical issue here, which when you did not attain a certain mark, a line. Then that figure doesn't tally well with the quality of the objective that you wanted actually ultimately to obtain. Then mathematically it doesn't tally, and that thing doesn't, it can't answer, bring a correct answer mathematically. But for the reason of compliance, we have a report which does detail the rest of how did we arrive at 45%. I'm trying to say, you see where you come across underspending, it must also at some stage be taken into consideration that underspending itself is something that has consequence. So it must have consequence. So it, we must not, there must not be any hiding behind COVID and other things. It must be clearly said that now here it was due to a poor performance, because I would want to get a breakdown. I just want to go to, for instance, on the issue of political party, I mean transfers to political parties. I just want to pick up one example here, where the total annual allocation of political parties has been underspent by 57%. And I didn't get the clear reasons why the underspending was at that much, 57% during that quarter. Now, you come to the underspending on employees. If I'm not mistaken, employees were sometimes up in arms with regard to the salaries and what and what. So now if you look at that, it would seem as if it is now us who are opening a lacunae, as my Honorable Khatebe has made reference to, for us to be, you know, under siege. Because if you talk about underspending for employees, and at the same time we have, there's been a reduction, you know, in as far as the salaries and wages are concerned, it will bring a huge challenge, you know, because people just take things and then for a so we can be taken to task. What do you mean by that, you know, at some certain levels? So I'm trying to caution that we may say it nicely that it is because of this and this, but if you bring in that serious element of, you know, wages and salaries and also the element of underspending, it means we are shooting ourselves on the foot. We should be saying completely here, we've finished everything, we could not even afford further. But now, when you talk about, you know, underspending under salaries of for employees, we are bringing a serious challenge that we won't be able to answer now tomorrow. And then, but what I'm trying to caution here is that I think in some reasons, one does not get a very clear a sense of, look at the goods and services, 32%, you know, so it's a very significant number of underspending that you can ever come across. Unless we get a breakdown of what is it exactly that stands there, you know, what was acquired in terms of goods and service. If there's a clear breakdown, you know, that simply convinces me, then I'm able to follow up. No, I see what happened around the goods and service. But if it's just a general statement, it's because of COVID, you know, was there any procurement or, you know, what has happened? So if there's a breakdown, you are able to follow quite nicely that, no, it was related to COVID procurement. It was not done or something happened. But it must be clearly stated there. But if it's just a general statement that, do you remember when level 4 was announced, or do you remember when level 3 was announced or level 2 was announced? It affected goods and services. How? Give us a breakdown so that we see it. Because not all of us, from the street level, I want to explain to someone, who inquires about this, then I do not know how to explain that. So maybe my understanding is from a street level at some stage, I think so. But now I'm at the parliament, I want to understand just the simple on 32% underspending on goods and services. And then there's a whole range, you know, of points that are related to underspending. But generally, that underspending, for me, would not really be an acceptable situation. We should rather have foreseen this coming and properly put a budget that would not negate us as we move forward to 2022-23. So now we begin with we punch it at a very low as we move forward with this underspending. It leaves much to be desired. So there needs to be drastic, measures that we avoid this situation in future where we ourselves as a parliament now we are faced with this situation and faced with the situations of the department who are unable to spend their allocated money. And yet we have a number of challenges of service delivery. Now, it can't be us again now coming with this picture. We need to be exemplary, because even the department can come up with these excuses and say, because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. So, it's, at this stage, it shouldn't be like this. So I think there must be a very clear adherence to the rules of the game. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Dr. Kaiso. Indeed, underspending, it is going to make us weak as Parliament. We will not be able to win our fight with Treasury. So please, you've correctly put it that we need to really put our ducks in the row and make sure that no matter what, we spend our budgets as allocated. I still have member Lesoma will be followed by member Moletsane, and then member Maso will be the last in that order, members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, colleagues. I have been, Chair, largely been covered by my colleagues. Safe to say that without repeating ourselves on this matter, if an impression is created that the tools of trade of members are not so important, how do you then expect members of parliament to do their work properly? Because even the gadgets, when they are being upgraded, there is a reason why they have to be upgraded. Let me make a living example. Last week, or still this week, members came to Parliament, some of them, merely to go and have an appointment with the IT people, IT section, and there was nobody there. And they've received the new tools of trade, but there's no one to help them to program them, because it needs a parliamentary person to do that. I'm just citing an example. But also, Chair, I know what we are dealing with is not necessarily meant to be covered here. But one would have appreciated if it was said that we have got an underspending in terms of a program that also falls under public participation because of COVID. But however, there is a process that there is a thinking and an approach that is being mooted that will augment that, because COVID-19, it seems like we're still going to live with it for some time. So I'm saying that it will be important that you strike a balance while you justify the underspending, but also moving forward, this is what you are intending to do. I'm not a spokesperson, but I'm just saying that we are the parliament of the people. If we are parliament of the people, then how do we operationalize or programatize that? It must be also, we should be given a sense of comfort that...
Oh, are you done?
Sorry, Chair?
We missed you at some point, Malesoma.
Oh, so, but in short, Chair, I'm stressing the importance of tools of trade, but also thinking outside the box that while we acknowledge that there has been underspending thanks to COVID, but we will be living with COVID for some time by look of things, that you also quickly say that however moving forward, we are going to have this so that we ensure that we are people's parliament where there is a public participation, as it were. So I'm saying that one is very critical for me. I think Honorable Kaiso has covered other points, but you are not saying that you must spend for the sake of spending, but there must be a saying that this is the rationale. The other one, Chair, if then it's optional, the permit issue, it must be said like that. And what then informs that? Because all along we've been told that the permit is compulsory. And with the new members of the sixth term, where did it change? Because we didn't amend any legislation. If one can be schooled on that, can be highly appreciate that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered by the colleagues in some of the questions. The one that I'm still remaining with that I really need a clarity is this one of the vacant posts. When presentation was done here on program two, we've got a less expenditure there due to this the vacant posts that are still available. One wonders now, how far are we, the progress in terms of filling in those vacant posts? Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Let me say that partly I have been covered by the latter speakers, but one will then come in to also echo her view on the issue of the budget on underspending. It should be explained to us what is the turnaround strategy that are put in place on how they are going to utilize the underspend money that they have in their coffers. The second one is the issue of the committee should be provided with a guaranteed progress report on the intervention on the parliamentary communication services. Which I think we need also to understand on how it goes. The other one is also with the issue of the need to receive the detailed briefing on the broadcast studio, particularly on how it was funded and its expected impact and the cost of operating it over the next 3 years. I'm sorry if I missed it, but I didn't hear about it. So I just need just a little clarity on that. The last one, Chairperson, on my side would be that the need to understand the rationale for having included members' facility under Program 3, which does not have targets. What is the rationale behind that? Can they also explain to us on that? Thank you very much.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, Chair.
No, before you come in, I'm quite dissatisfied with the information related to programs under financial performance. I'm not sure if maybe when you start, you'll have to then start addressing those discrepancies and then reasons why were they not identified and why were they not included in the report. And failing of which, then we will then say this report, it is wrong because now it does not tally with what you've presented in quarter one, and the programs as well are not tallying with the information that is there in quarter one, and it will also not be in line with the APPs. So I want you to please, this over, take a very deep breath and try to make us understand and convince us that indeed the financial performance report, it is a correct report. Maybe before you can even attempt to respond to any questions. I will pause for now.
Chair, no, thank you so much. Do you allow me, Chair?
Yes, I allow.
Yes, do allow me, Chair, to invite the CFO, because he would be better placed than me on the issue of the financial performance. And my apologies. So if the CFO could comment on that, and then I'm going to respond to two issues, and I'm going to indicate to the colleagues which ones they must also respond to on the matters raised by members. And with your permission, Chair, I'm going to invite the CFO.
Thank you, Mr. Council, and Honourable Chair, and Honourable Members. If my understanding is correct, Honourable Chair, in terms of the question of the report, that you say that there is discrepancies in terms of the quarters, can you perhaps just elaborate on that? I am not sure whether I have captured it correctly from what you are saying. And also, if I may ask, what is basically informing you to say that is there are some discrepancies as per what we have presented in this report. My apology if I haven't captured your question correctly, Honourable Chair.
No, just for your benefit, Ma, the program that you presented and your presentation with Raji, they don't tally. I'm not sure if you're aware. Just to ease your mind, the program that Raji and yourself presented, they're not tallying.
Honourable Chair, I think we have presented in terms of the financials an overview of all the five programs, and as I've indicated, that is your strategic leadership, your administration, your core business, support services, and then also your associated services. I think I've also picked up a question where there might be a confusion to say that there are no targets set.
Just hold, ma. You see exactly what you are saying, it is wrong. Can you clarify us how many programs do we have? Do we still have five programs or three programs? Just before you can even confuse us even more, because what you're saying now to me, it comes across as a wrong information.
Yeah. Sorry, Chair. I think my apology. I do understand what you are referring to now. Currently, we are reporting to National Treasury, still under the five programs. And I think Mr. Moodley has reported under three programs, if I'm not mistaken. But we have to report still to National Treasury under the five programs. And yes, the APP has...
Hello, ma. Hello, sorry for this. Members, I apologize for this. Now, in quarter one, how many programs have you presented on, and when did you take a decision to change?
I think...
On the number of programs, because we need to follow and really... understand. We don't want misleading information.
Yeah. The information, and my apology again, Chair, is absolutely correct. It is just that because we have a challenge to, in terms of our systems, we had to, and also because we had to report to Treasury on the five programs, that is why we have made this presentation on the five programs that is there. But there is, all these programs are in zinc. So you don't have to worry that we have given you incorrect information. It is just because we...
No, ma'am.
My apology also to interject like that. I should worry because APPs, according to our information, has got 3 programs. And if you are presenting anything outside that, it's my concern. I should worry because I am here to conduct oversight on information that you are giving to me. So if you give me inconsistent information, it is my business to worry. So you don't have to sugarcoat it in any way or try to make me feel at ease. I will definitely not be at ease. So please give us accurate information. Do not sugarcoat anything and try to be consistent. It will be for the first time that, as this committee, will be rejecting the report. So we don't want to go there. Please try to find even words that are relevant, that shows professionalism and convincingly as well, so that then when we close this meeting, we should all be at the same level and in agreement that you are not just willingly change and give us information that you feel it is correct for us. We follow, we read reports, we understand what is going on.
Chairperson, just to come in on that matter, I'm fully agreed with you. That's why when I raised it, that the strategic plan has got 3 programs. Yeah. But then, once we have a strategic plan with 3 programs, the money must follow the strategic plan. And immediately the strategic plan was approved. Yeah. I think that the Treasury must have been informed. But what could have happened if the previous programs, yeah, they are still there? I think if there are still home bodies around that, yeah, but they must indicate this as sub-programs of a particular program. Because it's true that it's going to be confusing. Yeah. If you have a strategic plan of 3 programs, but the financial performance is on 3, so how then are we going to cross-reference to ensure that things are in order? Thank you, Chair.
No, exactly my point, Whip. Exactly my point. Ma'am, can you please clarify us so that then we can then move on? Exactly my point, Whip. You're spot on.
Chair, with your permission, ma'am, I would like to invite the Treasury Advice Office to just clarify the issue around the program structure. I note your point. We may, after this, Chair, commit that we resubmit this so that it speaks to the concerns that you have raised in terms of how we present on the structure. I think there's still a system issue in terms of how we report our strategic plan, and how we report in terms of the expectations of Treasury. But I want to invite, through you, Chair, the Treasury Advice Office to just clarify the point, just because they work together with the CFO. But we note your concern, Chair. It's very important that we don't confuse the members and we don't confuse, in fact, everyone consuming our reports. Mr. McGregor?
Thank you, Mr. Kasu. Thank you, Chair. Chair? I think there is a misalignment between the program structure, and the reason is that the way our funds are allocated from National Treasury, it is allocated on according to 5 programs, and when our financial system is also set up 5 programs, and our monthly reports are also reporting on 5 programs. But I think what we need to do for you, Chair, is to be consistent, and to all the numbers are there. They are the divisions are still the same, but it's the way we organized the program and the presentation. So I think, Chair, if we can, we can rearrange that into the 3 programs. It was just at that point it is easier for us to report straight from the financial system. So I think what we can do is that our colleagues in the FMO can report it according to the 3 programs. But currently, we have engaged with National Treasury, and from the 1st of April, we will be able to report on the 3 programs. So because it will be updated on the National Treasury system, and it will also then align to the system at Parliament. So there is a reporting issue for us, but we can rearrange it for you according to the 3 programs. Yeah. So there is apologies for that, Chair. Yeah.
Honorable members, Honorable Khadeb, our chairperson is the body that has been kicked out of a meeting. I'm not sure what is going to happen.
Oh, all right, thank you. That you have alerted me to that. I think if the chairperson is not in, I can come in and share the meeting. I think that what has transpired now is that we really appreciate the explanation from the side of Treasury that their system is not yet aligned to that one of Parliament. And then we are getting a commitment that in the new financial year, everything will be in order. I think that those things, we had to bring it to the fore so that we deal with that. And then the ACCFO can continue reporting and responding to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much, Abu Fadele. Just the issue of indicators as they relate to Program 3. I think I'm hearing what the members are saying, and what we need to do as the administration is just identify what it is exactly that we think members would like to have measured, that we measure there. And I've noted the response by Mr. Modu, but I wouldn't want us to dismiss the concerns that you have raised, that you are concerned that the people who are supposed to perform a service, their work is not being measured, or the service itself is not being measured. It was in terms of measured on people, that would be their performance agreements, but the work itself, the service itself, is not being measured. So we'll take that into consideration and see what type of indicators we could work out there. Again, Chair, Honourable Khadeb, you have raised the issue of the amendment of the FMPLA. Firstly, there is a process currently underway in the Finance Standing Committee that is seeking to effect certain amendments, especially as they relate to the reporting obligations, to effect amendments on this FMPLA. But there is also another process which is trying to implement Section 18 of the Financial Management of Parliament Act, which speaks about Parliament must, for each financial year, Parliament must appropriate funds communicated in Sections 16 to in the annual national budget. But we will do a proper presentation to this committee on the issue of Section 18. Now, I will ask Mr. Modu to respond to the issues around the sample size of the questionnaire and the issue of the surveys. And then the CFO will respond on the issue of the budget. And Ms. Fiona will speak to the issue of vacant posts. Another issue, Chair, is that on issue of broadcasting, we request that we don't respond to it in this meeting. We will have to because the spokesperson is not around, who is in charge of the PCS, Public Parliament's Communication Services, and the issues of the studio. We don't want to give incomplete information. And its funding as well. I think the accounting officer would want to get involved in responding on that issue. But HR will respond on the issue of vacant posts and also on the issue of the underspending around the issue of vacancies, also assisted by FMO. So, Mr. Modu, if you could please respond, but don't respond on the issue of indicators for Program 3. I think we've dealt with that one. But you can respond on the issue of the size and the survey. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary. Honourable members, we chose not to pick a sample size based on the number of members of Parliament in both the National Assembly and the NCOP. We decided to basically use the entire to send the survey out to all members of Parliament. I don't know the exact numbers right now, but that could be around 480 or so. So all members of Parliament are getting the survey. We didn't want to limit it to a sample. Then in terms of to give you an indicator of responses so far, so in the first quarter, Of the total number of members, we got about 65 responses back after leaving the survey open for about 3 weeks. In the second quarter, it was slightly less. The third quarter one is still open. Obviously, for us, the greater the number of responses, so everybody's been sent it out, the greater the number of responses, the more valid the survey becomes. From a technical basis, in terms of statistical validity, we need a minimum of about 40 members to respond for the results to have any scientific or statistical validity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Purcell and honorable members. The question on the budget side, specifically the underspend, I think I take note of the members' concern. However, what I need to indicate, why we always refer to COVID, our travel commodity is the biggest budget. We spend a lot on travel, and due to some delays, obviously, there has been some underspend in that area. However, there's also been strategic priorities and projects identified, specifically in the ICT, the hybrid, the committee system, that is required, so that underspend will be basically utilized for those type of projects. Also, Parliament does not give back money. It remains, we call it retained earnings, and also to indicate that when we do have retained earnings in this specific year, we have also invested some of those retained earnings. So there's definitely specific reasons for us in not spending the way it should be done, as honourable members has indicated, but that underspend will be well utilised in terms of those strategic projects. I'm not sure whether there is any other...
yes, speak to the issue of political parties underspending there.
When it gets to the political parties underspend, it's mostly when we say there is an underspend is when there were some queries on financial statements that was submitted by the parties that are not aligned to the policy, and that is when we kind of withhold some of these budgets. But if you look at it by the end of the year, it is projected that they might be full spent by the political parties if all the queries that are outstanding has been submitted duly by the parties. Thank you, Mr. Castle and honorable members.
We will request Ms. Zungu to respond to the matter on the kitchen, as CAPEX, and whether that project is now complete. Ms. Zungu?
Thank you, Mr. Castle. Afternoon, honorable members. On the issue of the kitchen, the only kitchen that is closed is the old assembly kitchen. However, the refurbishment there has been completed. So the kitchen will be opened in February next year. The CAPEX for the refurbishment of the kitchen sits with Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. That project has not yet started. Thank you.
Honorable President, we have noted the issue about us, the underspend and consequence management, because there is also indeed a link between spending and planning. So we have noted that issue. It's very important that we take account of it. HR, vacancies.
Good afternoon, and honourable members of the committee.
I would just like to respond on the issues of the Chief Audit Executive appointment and the CFO appointment. With the Chief Audit Executive, that placement is imminent. We expect the new person to be starting in the new in the beginning of the new year. With the CFO, we've had, I think it's three rounds of interviews now where we have not successfully been able to appoint a person. So we have gone out and sought an executive search partner who has been appointed, and we will be working with that person, with that organization, in order to place the CFO. I think that the other thing that has impacted on the vacancies is our organizational realignment project that we are busy with. In some instances where we're busy with the design of functions that may include different roles and new roles with different requirements and different outputs, it's important that we would not want to be a reckless employer who would bring new people, bring people into an organization that we're busy changing. And so that some of the delays would also be because of that. Thank you.
I think lastly, to you, permit, I'll ask the CFO to respond to the issue of permit and whether there are members who are not taking a permit.
Thank you, Mr. Castle and honorable members, once more. To indicate, yes, permit is compulsory. I think the main reason when we are saying they are not taking it up, it's basically when we have an overprovision on permit side. But it is a compulsory for members of parliament. And the issue, as we have said before, the permit issue will still be discussed. We had various engagements with National Treasury, how that permit issue will be attended to in due course. If it's not in this year, obviously in next year. We also know that the Deputy Speaker, who is the Chairperson of PAMEC, there has been a meeting set aside in December. But we will obviously keep honourable members on par with what is happening in that space with our engagements with Treasury, as well as other matters relating to the budget. Thank you, Mr. Castle.
Chairperson, thank you so much. We will, together with FMO, work on the breakdown that Honorable Kaiso has asked for as it relates to the goods and services, so that we are able to give a comprehensive picture of what would have obtained there. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I'm not sure whether Ms. Mabe is back on.
No, I'm back. I did not enjoy myself.
Honorable Chair?
I'm back. Can you hear me? I'm saying that I did not enjoy myself in terms of listening to responses. The system kept on kicking me out. Can you hear me, members? There's someone who's speaking, but I'm speaking. Okay.
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Yes. Members, maybe before we can then summarize and close the meeting officially, are there any further issues that members would want to raise? Follow up in terms of responses provided? Okay.
Yes.
We can just speak randomly, or maybe, Cindy, can you help to identify members? And please, we just speak in the order that Cindy will be identifying members. Cindy?
Yes, Chairperson.
Can you please come to my rescue? Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I've got Ma'am Marshall, and then I've got a new member, Ms. Matapelo Siwisa of the EFF.
Okay. Thank you very much. Chairperson, can I carry on?
Yes, no. Member. Yes, member. We only have two.
Thank you very much. No. The follow-up question is all about the truth of trade. Maybe, sorry for my ignorance, I didn't hear anybody answering who has taken that decision. to upgrade a certain part of our tool of trade as members of parliament? And when is it going to be addressed? We need new laptops. Those laptops are old. They can't even have memory to capture the whole work of parliament. Secondly, which is also a follow-up, we are suggesting that parliament member workers of our employees in parliament, when they come next time, they must be able to tell us on the retaining earnings that they are talking about and where they invested them and how much is invested, because they are saying if the money is not being utilized, it is called retaining earnings, and we then invest them where, because we have never seen that before. I would be happy to see those investments and where are they invested. And also, lastly, Chair, why do we have retaining earnings in Parliament, or else we did not even buy the laptops for members, saying that we don't have enough money? This is not correct. And that person who has taken that decision, because is this committee that must take a decision? Who took that decision?
Thank you, Chair. This is Member Siwisa, designated by the EFF to attend the meeting.
You're welcome, Member Siwisa.
Thank you, Mama. My question is maybe a question of clarity on slide 9, where it says overall members' satisfaction, and then they give us indicators and overall member satisfaction. So my question on that slide is, this looks like job descriptions or support staff tasks, and it does not look like indicators to me. So which principle was used? Is it the SMART principle or any other principle that was used? Because it does not refer to evidence that shows the type of performance of staff. And then it does not look like it was drafted with the SMART. So which other principle was used for them? Because these are job descriptions. I don't see them as indicators. Indicators are something else that would be measurable as time goes on, to say we've moved from this point to that point and this is what we have achieved. But what I'm seeing on the slide is purely job descriptions on what staff needs to do. So which principle was used for them to arrive at the percentages that they've arrived? And if I can get a clarity on that. Thank you, Chair.
Are there further takers? Cindy?
Sorry, Chair. No, there are no further.
Okay. But that's awesome.
Thank you, Chair. We'll ask Ms. Papa to respond on tools of trade. Saba? Linda?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, members. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thanks. In respect to the tools of trade, the decision to take to only upgrade the mobile phones was taken in the consultative forum. We'll now refer the matter back to the forum for consideration.
Are you done, Linda?
I am. Thank you, Chair.
So you're saying the decision was taken in the members' consultative forum, and the matter will now be referred back to that forum.
That's correct. We'll take the input, and I'll also take...
Okay. I think you may be having connectivity issues there. The issue of slide number 9, the principle used in terms of the satisfaction survey. Mr. Modi?
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Deputy Secretary. So basically, client satisfaction surveys have been used for over 30 years all over the world. I think when I presented even the strat plan, et cetera, I showed where some of those things come from, that there's not only net promoter scores, there are client satisfaction scores, et cetera. Those are indicator methods which are used. they all follow SMART principles. So there's over 30 years worth of global history around that. There were even the Parliament of New Zealand, Parliament of Zimbabwe, etc., following these methods. It's consistent with the DPME framework for performance measurement. What it was illustrating is that the services of the parliamentary administration, so we're not a manufacturing business, we're not counting number of houses made, etc. It is services which are rendered to members of parliament. And in the past, when we just measured turnaround times, etc., that only measured one aspect. This, by breaking it up into fairness, usability of service, how useful it was, there were five dimensions. The most correlated to satisfaction of clients. So the principle of smartness is there. It is pure. It is measurable, etc. When we do these surveys, a statistical average, a statistical mean, together with variances, etc., make it all measurable. Measurable in every way. When you look from quarter to quarter or over a period of time, you look for an increase or decrease in satisfaction levels to tell you which direction it's going. So that was a fundamental shift from the fifth parliament to the sixth parliament. Thanks.
Honourable Marshall has raised the issue of retained earnings. We will confer with the finance office, ma'am, just to check what is possible there. You wanted to know about interest and how the funds are invested. We will work on that. Thanks. Thank you, Chair. We're done.
Thank you very much. Our issues have not changed, except to say that going forward, we would want you to please continue being committed to your work. You've been a very great team and excellent in executing your duties. Please, we want that consistency with the new speaker, especially in Parliament. We are not going to drop the ball now. The stakes are very high now. We're not going to do that at all. Our issues still remain the same. The issue of permit is not resolved. It will always come up. The issue of the independent budget from Treasury, it has not been resolved. It will always come up. Now there's an issue in relation to services to members. Can we please improve on that? We also note the response in terms of the quarter one report not tallying to the current report, and we will hold you to that. We need information. We need transparency. We are pressing upon accountability. So that these are the small issues that can then lead to us not getting clean audits. So everything that we do, we must remember. Any information that we record, we must remember. Ultimately, it has got implications to the audit. So we're not going to get a negative audit report for the first time. So as I'm saying, we're not going to drop the ball. Professionality is what we demand from yourselves. We know that you have the capacity, and with the change of political leadership, it should not affect us at all. We are not politicians. You are administrators. You are there to make sure that you implement the policies of the ruling party and make sure that you comply with all the legislations that are there. So I'm going to leave it at there, members, that we close this meeting. In fact, it was a long meeting. I never thought we'll push until quarter two. For your patience and the team, the meeting stands adjourned until to the next meeting.
You're breaking up very badly, Chair, but your message is understood. Thank you.
Pardon me, members. I'm so sorry. We've got one more agenda item.
Oh.
Yes. It's the proposal for our strategic plan, but I will just check on Ms. Marbe quickly to see if she is trying to get back into the platform.
Cindy.
Colleagues, why don't we suggest that Honorable Khatebe then continue like he did before, because it's only one item.
Correct, and I've got some proposals on that as well.
We wanted to check Honorable Khatebe, if we should remain on the platform or may we leave the meeting as the administration.
You can leave the meeting because it will be internal staff.
Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Tasso, before you leave.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, your advice is senior. I see that they are proposing sometime in December for the strat plan. 3rd of December, so if what I saw, and I'm stand to correction. And I was thinking we just postpone it to early January, when we get back in January. I mean, is there any train smash to look at it now? Because next week is going to be a very busy week.
Honorable Singh, I think it will be proper that one of us chairs the meeting, not Mr. Paso, because it's our strike plan and still our meeting. Hence, I was requesting Honorable Khatebe then to do the honors for us so that we can, as the committee, then can respond to your suggestion.
Okay. Now, just asking me his advice, admin advice.
Okay, I will remain on the platform with your permission.
So, Dave, where are you? No, I am doing that because I can see even Honorable Khatebe has got an apology. Mm-hmm. May we apologize on behalf of the co-chairs, the challenges in terms of this technology that they have got no control on. Cindy was saying that there's only one item and which Honorable Singh has already taken a bite, but can we see anyone who would like to just to take a bite on the suggested date, Honorable Members?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair. Okay. Is the Honorable Kaiso and Honorable Masho then also then carry forward the suggestion that was made by Honorable Singh, also if he may also reflect on that suggestion? Honorable Kaiso?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I think it will be fair to look forward for earlier date in January.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Masho?
I support the move.
Okay. Shall we close the matter, the date, to say that, yes, we agree in principle that we must have a strategy plan. However, it must be in early January. The board co-chairs and administration can work in the logistics and the early January date immediately after the recess. Can we leave it like that? Honorable members, the co-chair from NA have already thanked the administration and ourselves, and we wish all the safe festive season. Have a blessed festive season and a new year. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.